Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. These are God's words. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, thus far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The Fiji rugby team. And the Fiji is a tiny little country. And it is a country that still has enough of a memory of the gospel coming and transforming their nation. After the Fiji rugby team defeated New Zealand to win their second gold medal in a row, which is the second gold medal in the history of that nation, all of the men, and, you know, rugby players are big, burly men, they drop to their knees, and they offer a prayer of thanksgiving, and then they get up, and they sing right out of the book of Revelation, "We have overcome, we have overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the Lord, we have overcome." And they sing it in their own language, and then they sing it in English. And, you know, just look up, you know, Fiji rugby team singing the "We Have Overcome." You'll find a bunch of times that they have done this. But even more than just hearing a bunch of giant men sing right out of the book of Revelation at the top of their lung, one of the things that excited me was to find out that they also end the matches that they lose the same way. On their knees, prayer of thanksgiving to God, stand up and sing out of the book of Revelation after defeat in rugby. Because at the end of the day, even if you're a professional rugby player, rugby doesn't matter. We have overcome, we have overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the Lord, we have overcome. And that was in God's providence to just bring me across that in a week in which I was studying to open this passage with you this afternoon. It was very moving to me just in the providence of God, because one of the most abused texts in the Bible is at the end of our passage. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I wish it was well used in as often as it used, because how very much we as believers need to learn not just how to suffer and lack Christianly, where Christ is enough for us and we are content and rejoicing even in our lacking, but even to abound Christianly, where in the midst of our abundance, Christ is our delight, our contentment, and the cause of our rejoicing. So as we come into this passage, he's just been setting himself as an example, or reminding them that God has graciously worked in him so that he is an example of having that our inner thought life shaped by all of the true and noble and just and pure and lovely and good repute and virtuous and praiseworthy things, particularly from the Bible. That since the Bible is our standard for judging all of those things, and then he goes immediately into the things which you have learned and received and heard, so that he has taught them and he has commanded them and he has preached it to them and seen, so he's also modeled it to them. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Then he gives an example of what it looks like to have heart and mind shaped by the scripture, and part of that example is to be content in every circumstance. And he commends them as well, because the same place that his contentment has come from is the place from which their generosity has come from. And we find out at the end, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the way that verse 12 sets up verse 13, or the verse 11 and 12 rather, set up verse 13, he says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. We who have longed to be content and who have seen or heard glimpses of what Christian contentment looks like in others and have greatly desired it. You know, someone tells you they've just read for the whatever time Jeremiah Burroughs' Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, and they're telling you again how much of a help has been done. You race out to get it. By the time we get to the end of verse 11, we're already saying, well, I want to learn that. I wish I could follow the apostle in the way that he's been urging me to do throughout this this letter, into contentment, into happiness. I would love to be content. And then he says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In other words, I know how to be content when I'm brought low, and I know how to be content when the Lord makes me prosperous. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And so he's really kind of stretched this out, hasn't he? Hadn't added a lot of information in verse 12 to what he said at the end of verse 11. But he's as it were, tempting us, alluring us, getting us to increasing, urging us to increase our desire for this contentment. And then he gives us the key. What is the key? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Immediately he has us thinking back to chapter 3 and that entire discussion of how nothing that we have done is our worthiness before God. Only what Christ has done. Nothing else that we could get has anything in it to be compared to the value of Christ. But it's worth losing everything in order to have him. And so Christ strengthens him to this contentment because Christ is all that he needs to rest upon and all that he needs to rejoice in. Jesus strengthens us through, and this is my favorite weight training program in all of reality. He strengthens us through enjoying him. He strengthens us through resting upon him. He strengthens us through rejoicing in him. So he pulls that discussion from chapter 3 into what he's been saying in verse 11 and 12, with the punchline, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And even if you have the critical text, and sorry for that, but even if you have the critical text, there's no other hymn who the hymn could be. It is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so you can see now what is the proper way to be abased, to be brought low, to suffer, to lack? Well, it's to be content with Christ. And there is a proper way to abound and to be full. And it is to be satisfied only and fully with Christ. And that's not just where his contentment has come from, is it? It's also where their generosity has come from. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though surely you did care, but you lacked opportunity. And he's going to go on in next week's passage, and we'll examine it more in more detail at that point to talk about how it was the grace that is in them more than the gift, and the fruit that abounds to them more than the gift. He's recognizing that their giving to him came from the same place that his contentment came from. So here he is, he's content with his circumstances, and the gift shows up, and he rejoices in the Lord that they have they've had this generous spirit. And you know, this passage challenges us with our contentment and with our generosity, because it works in the opposite direction, doesn't it? That if resting in Christ and rejoicing in Christ is the ground of our contentment, is what produces our contentment, then when we're not content, does that not indicate to us the strength and maturity of our resting in the Lord and our rejoicing in Him? And in some ways, it's even more difficult when you abound, because when you're really enjoying the good gifts, it's sometimes hard to distinguish between whether or not you're enjoying the gift or the goodness of the giver. And that's why it's such a help that in this passage, contentment isn't the only thing that's coming out of resting in Jesus and rejoicing in Jesus. Paul's contentment comes out of that, but their generosity comes out of that too. And so this generous spirit that he describes here, that, you know, it's not like their care was there and then the care went away and now that the care is back, right? He's careful to say at the end of verse 10, though you surely did care. So there wasn't like a flagging or a lack or a backsliding in their caring. What was missing? Opportunity. And so he's saying, you Philippians are so opportunistic. Y'all are just generous whenever you have the chance. As soon as you saw an opportunity to be generous with me, immediately you took it. When you didn't have the opportunity, you were missing out. That's the sense of verse 10. And so that helps us. Because a lot of us, to be frank, we've never really been very needy or needy at all. I mean, some of you children, the Lord has given you parents who He has worked in their hearts, and they value you as made in His image, and they value you as covenant seed, the children that are part of His promises to your parents, and they treasure you for Christ's sake, and they see the duty that God has given of providing for you, and they are eager that you would never know any lack whatsoever. And we are sometimes convicted that we haven't been spiritually the same diligence and abundance in our spiritual provision to you as we have in our material provision. So some of you really have not ever had lack or need. You've just had unfulfilled covetousness that you thought was lacking or need. But you do have the opportunity to be generous. Generous with at least your time, with your prayers, with your thoughts, and even with your substance. And so that's another way that we can ask the Lord to help us see our resting in Him and our rejoicing in Him coming out. And if we find that we are not really opportunistically generous, looking for chances to give to others, then we know where to get that strength and how He strengthens us. It is Christ, and He strengthens us by making us count everything else put together as rubbish worth losing for His sake. May the Lord give us such strength. May we never, ever abuse this frequently abused text. You know, those who overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the Lord, the immediately preceding verse is, they loved not their lives unto death. And so it may be in the greatest loss, the loss literally of everything in this world, that you end up getting to sing, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we pray that by your Spirit you would make yourself our strength, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength, that the devil himself would be unable to tempt us because of how content we are with you. Just as you modeled your own contentment with your Father and every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. grant to us that you would be our Adam, that we would be the new humanity that has come from you. Not like our first parents, who were not contented, but who ate the fruit. And so we pray that resting in you and rejoicing in you and having you would be our strength, that you would make us able to be content with little or content with much, and make us opportunistically generous, we ask. For we ask these things in your name. Amen.